GNC597. It's Thursday, July 29th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Everybody, I got a great show for you. Yes, it's another rare daytime recording. Got a lot of stuff for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Everyone, I want to say hello to you and welcome you to the show. And of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Warm welcome to all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. And of course, if you're new to the show, I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and get signed up. You know, subscribe to the show. That way that you'll never miss and ever miss an episode of the podcast. I produce this twice a week, every Monday and Thursday, which is usually released every Tuesday and Friday. But being I'm doing it during the daytime, these the last couple of shows, you actually get the show early on its normal delivery time. But get signed up. You subscribe to the show via the podcast feed, via the iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, or whatever podcast you're using to download media today. And that's the best way, really, to make sure that you never miss a single episode. You'll want to sign up for our newsletter as well. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show, including all the links to all the different articles that are available from the show that's been submitted by listeners and viewers like you. If you have comments on today's show, definitely send them to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Of course, we want to welcome most of our audio listeners from 165 countries worldwide. Thanks for being subscribed and staying subscribed. And for those of you that are watching us on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, thank you so very much. I'm telling you, the numbers are through the stratosphere. They continue to increase week after week. I am completely blown away. I was talking with Jeff Hines. He's one of our team members at Raw Voice, and he said his Friday night dance party podcast is up 50%, specifically because of the Roku. We're hitting some amazing numbers with the people that have our content on there, and we're really, really excited. So obviously, I think we're doing the right things, but you know, it's just one of those deals. And we've got more devices coming this year, which is really, really excited. But again, a warm welcome to the Ohana and the new listeners to the show. Thanks for being here and joining the family at here at geeknewscentral.com. Well, I tell you, here we are. We're already at the end of the week, and we've got a roundtable planned on Saturday. So if you've got some time at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, we're going to be doing a tech podcast roundtable. Jeffrey's actually getting over the topics for me today, but we will be going live at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific. So I hope you can join us. You can go over to techpodcast.com to basically hang out with us, or you can watch the live stream here at Geek News Central. Really, what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue to focus on the fast approaching show number 600. And hard to believe, we're just a few episodes away from that. So keep your comments coming in on what you want me to change in the show to make the show better. And again, just put in the subtitle of the email, Show 600 Recommendations. Email those to me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call in and comment about the show at area code 619-342-7365. So that's, of course, the voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day. And if you're watching on Ustream, you'll actually be able to see the telephone number flash behind me. So if you didn't catch that, you can keep an eye on the scrolling banner on the video. So let me see here. What else have I got going on? Hey, you know, one thing that I learned over the last couple of days is that all plans that you put forth in planning to do something can go awry at the quickest moment. And basically what happens, I talked about jailbreaking my iPad. So I'd gotten everything ready, bought the cables, got the software downloaded, plugged the device into my computer, and lo and behold, it had already been upgraded to one version beyond what they've got a jailbreak for. So I was thinking, okay, so what do I do? Do I downgrade or do I wait for the jailbreaking folks? And being that we're waiting for the new TriCaster, for the new TCXD850 to arrive mid next month, I said, well, we'll just give the jailbreak folks a couple more weeks and hopefully they'll get it jailbroke, because my plan is to patch in the TriCaster, just like I can patch in other monitors. And if you guys haven't seen this before, let me see if I can bring one of these up. So you guys, can I do that? Yeah. So I can actually bring up the monitors that are actually used for Skype in calls and stuff. And we're actually going to open up the system at the end of the show tonight. So if someone wants to call in and chat and be on the live stream after we're all done, they're more than welcome to do that. But be able to patch the actual iPad in as another presentation point, just like we do regular screens on the actual system. So I'm looking forward to hopefully them getting another jailbreak done where I'll be able to do that. Big announcement, of course, we launched ProMed Network at promednetwork.com. We've got a channel up on the Roku. The actual press release went out this morning, and been getting good response from that. So I'm pretty happy with the uptake so far. We've been watching the statistics to kind of see what kind of traffic we're going to get from that. Because really, this is the first time we've had a channel on the Roku that is, for a better word, really niche. You know, the tech stuff from Tech Podcast is really niche as well, but it's more widely watched than what maybe net medical news or medical shows would be. So we're starting to watch that. We're starting to see some uptick in numbers, which is good. Not as many of the shows over there doing video, so that's a little bit of a disadvantage for the guys over at ProMed. So anyway, that's kind of what's happening with as far as in the raw voice side. I've been attending weekly meetings, committee meetings with Blog World. I'm actually on the committee to help select the tracks that are going to be presented to the new media creators at Blog World coming up in October. And, you know, I'm going to be there. My team's going to be there. So I hope that if you're a content creator, a blogger, a podcaster, you'll consider coming out to Blog World in Vegas. It's going to be a great show. And it really looks like the lineup of topics and sessions will probably really make the trip worthwhile. Before I knew I was going to be on the committee, I'd actually submitted my presentation for this year. So I was kind of weird. I'm going to be voting for my own session. Today while we went through and were voting on the sessions, I basically kept my mouth shut and abstained. But the guys like the idea of the session I'm going to put together. So that for sure, the official word has to come down from the actual Blog World staff, but it looks like I will be speaking at Blog World again this year. So I look forward to that. Hey, this kind of brings up, you know, a lot of things have been going on. Been really doing some in-depth looks at the new media space and really some of the things that are going on and changing. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to rant per se. Let's see if I can bring up this blog post we put up today on one of our community sites. Let me actually bring this up for you guys. And it's kind of a little bit of a strong title to it. And let me see if I can flip this in there. It basically, you probably, if you're online, you can't actually see the title, but it says preserve your freedoms. Look closely before signing on the dotted line. And, I'm going to do a whole segment on the Barrycast. It's the official podcast for one of our communities. I'm going to do a whole segment on talking about really making sure that if you are going to go into any type of online venture, whether it be audio creation, video, a blog, Anything that you do, it's really important that, and you guys have heard this, you guys have heard me talk about this in the past, it's really important to control what you can and make sure you keep everything as close to your vest as possible. Sometimes people want to jump on free. They think free's great. You know, let's go get free hosting here, or let's go get free hosting there. But they really don't think about the ramifications of free, because free always comes with some sort of, well, for a better word, twist. And when you're getting something for free, you know, oftentimes what you sign up for is often not what may be changed underneath you down the road. And we've heard some rumors, again, that, and I talked a little bit about this on the last show, about how some hosting services may be restricting podcasters from doing certain things within their shows, unless it comes directly from the specific company itself. And so I just basically want to say to content creators is that, you know, if you want to control your destiny, grow your audience, and be able to make money without someone else's terms, you know, do the best you can to do your homework and put together, you know, get a domain name, put up a website, and, you know, do the things that are just the basic stuff of creating one's own brand online. And you know, and don't just automatically jump on free, because really the barrier to entry is very, very low for online stuff. As you know, we'll talk about, you know, some services available from some vendors that sponsor the show. But the main thing is to, no matter what service you go with, is do everything that's going to benefit you down the road, not necessarily what's going to help you right now. You know, the difference between giving something or getting something for free and then maybe paying $10, $15, or $20 a month for it now could cause you a lot less pain and suffering down the road. And also be careful about who you're doing business with. And, you know, we summed it up very specifically within the first sentence of this blog post. We said, free enterprise is a beautiful thing. You know, the dictionary.com describes it as an economic and political doctrine holding that a capitalist economy can regulate itself in a freely competitive market with a minimum intervention and regulation. Now, of course, as we say in that, that's a lot of big words. But we simply call it our specific business practices. We don't like to intervene. We don't like to control. We don't like to restrain. And it goes against any of our principles. We like to have the ability to compete in a free and open market space and really help those that we represent and that want to be represented by us. But oftentimes, I know now my hands are tied and I have to tell the content creator, I can't help you no more. Because you've locked yourself into this walled garden, and you're going to have to dig yourself out. And it's, for a non-technical person, it's not as easy said as done. So, you know, be careful. Be very careful out there on who you align yourself with, because it can have very detrimental effects to things that you do. Today I had a phone conversation with a local entrepreneur. There's some things that I have really been working behind the scenes on here in Hawaii, putting something together that I haven't publicly talked about. Next week I'm going to have a big meeting, with this individual. And from the very get-go, that idea and that thought process behind what I want to do here in Hawaii is based upon understanding that very quickly something can get out of control if there's too many people involved. So you have to pick your friends and the people you want to work with real carefully. And because things can be yanked out from underneath you in a heartbeat, and a dream of something that you may want to do on a business side can be ruined in a heartbeat. So I went on enough about, you know, this topic. But I see it again and again and again, and it really tears my heart out, because I see individuals pouring their heart and souls out into creating content and then literally getting screwed over because they really maybe didn't make a very wise, and I wouldn't say wise, they didn't have an informed choice when they first started doing something. And it's troubling. It really, really is. So look closely before you sign on the dotted line. And that comes with any service. You know, when it comes to our stuff, we'll read our terms of service closely. Putting us under scrutiny. If you see something you don't like, let us know. You know, that's, you're in control. You're the driver. You're the customer. You're the person that is going to be, you need to, you know, it's just like buying a car. You ask a lot of questions. So it shouldn't change in any type of business that you do. All right, I've yacked on that enough, and that's probably some of my content that I was going to cover today anyway. But honestly, this show would not be possible without the great sponsors behind it. We're here at the end of the month. Of course, I want to thank both GoDaddy and GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at the show. And really, they are literally the ones that help keep the lights on in here. And without them, that would not be possible. So when you're looking for a domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, shared hosting account, whatever it may be, really consider GoDaddy.com because they've got great products. They've got great services. You can manage your accounts now with your mobile device. It's really cool, either BlackBerry, iPhone, whatever it is. And they have a full host of services over there where you can, again, control your own destiny, build your own website, and, you know, use the expertise of people out in space that can help you really get set up. And for really, for today, for not a lot of money, and for the most aspect, a lot of stuff you can do today. You know, you buy a domain, you buy a hosting account, you auto-install WordPress, you go out and get a free template. You could have put a couple plugins in. Boom, you're in business. And that's all possible with services at GoDaddy.com. So really, you know, think about it. And when you get over there, you know, consider using my promo codes. Promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Don't forget, get your .co domains now. The land rush is about over. And if you haven't picked them up, you may be missing your brand's .co, maybe gone already. So be aware of that, okay? You know, as I have been home this month, it's been wonderful. You guys know that I've been at home the entire month of July. I'm scheduled to start another round of traveling. I'll be out the week. It looks like right now, the week of August 9th, I'll be out in the, probably out in the, on the West Coast. And we'll have a little bit of shift of show production dates during that travel week because I have to fly on Monday and I have to fly out on a Friday. So there's kind of some screwy stuff going on there. But it's been wonderful to be home and do business online. And I can meet with people just as easy here as I can on the road. And traveling is expensive. It's time consuming. It wears you out. Staying in a hotel all the time sucks. And you guys know. You guys know why. You guys know I use GoToMeeting. It's the easiest and really it's the most inexpensive online meeting product. And it works. And you simply set your meetings up in advance or start one on the fly. And it pays for itself in a single meeting where you don't have to get up and drive and go somewhere. Think about your time, your gas, even if you're driving, the time involved. Time is valuable. So everyone can just log into GoToMeeting.com. They can see your computer screen or you can see theirs. And it's just like really, it's like meeting in person. And as a listener of this show, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. And for this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Again, thanks for GoDaddy and GoToMeeting for being continued sponsors here at GNC. All right, I want to talk just a little bit about basically the internet here in Hawaii. We had a big outage Tuesday night. I was still awake because working here in the studio, and about 12:30, the internet went down and it stayed down for a long time. Bandwidth speeds were absolutely ferocious when it did come back online, and that lasted for about 24 hours. There was a cable that was cut between islands. It's still cut. They're saying it's going to take as much as 5 weeks to get things fixed here. But what was really amazing was where they're doing traffic now here in Hawaii is that Oahu is isolated from the other islands. So the main line is going back to the mainland, and then they're bringing traffic back if we're trying to get to access the other islands with traffic. They're bringing it back on another fiber into some other sites, or actually to the other islands. But people didn't have 911 service, and it was just it really, really was ugly. Let me bring up the article that I wrote, and you guys can see I was getting speeds of like 0.30 megabits per second down. The actual upload speeds were actually faster at 0.85 megabits per second than the actual downloads. But they've got the speeds pretty much figured out. And initially we thought that the internet was going to be slow. They didn't have enough backhaul to take care of everything, but it appears that they do. And looks like we're going to be okay for a period of time, which is really, really good news. And but boy, it was interesting because I was actually doing the replay of the show on DSL, and it wasn't as robust as the cable was, that's for sure. But glad to have our speed back here. Next article up is a report out of Japan, where the Japanese Icaro satellite, which successfully demonstrated the ability of them to use a solar sail, has broken some new ground, and this is pretty cool. What they did was they embedded in the sail liquid crystal. Well, basically, it's like an LCD display, but it really wasn't, but it's the same type of components that go into a liquid crystal display, just like it's in your video monitor, but they were fabricated into strips on the edge of the sail. And what they found was by energizing some of the LCDs, it changed the reflective characteristics of the of parts of the sail, and what happened was is they were successfully able to guide the sail one way or the other, and it generated altitude control torque in the sail, so they were able to make the very slowly, of course, make a an adjustment to the direction of flight. So this is pretty cool stuff here that they've been able to come up with, and is pretty revolutionary, and Japanese definitely hit a home run on this one. And I'm sure scientists are going to be thinking about this a lot as they go forward and are looking at more utilizations of solar sails. All right, many of you that have Androids may or may not have downloaded a wallpaper app, but by the looks of it, many people did. At the Black Hat Conference, it's being reported that over a million people have downloaded this application, which is basically sending personal information back to a server in China, collecting contact information, browsing history, all kinds of interesting info that you may not want going back to a server sitting in China somewhere. So they're collecting personal data on you. Now, they examined the app as part of a project that was underway, and it looked at the app Gnomi project is a mobile security firm, and they've looked over 100,000 free Android and iPhone apps as part of the project to analyze how those apps behave. And what's interesting is that they found that apps access your personal data quite often. All apps do, or a large majority of them. And it's more evident for Android users because each user's asked if they give permission for the app to access data. But on the iPhone, where Apple approves app, no permission is needed. It just grabs the data. So what they found was that 47% of Android apps access some kind of third-party code, while 23% of iPhone apps do. That's a nice ad popping up there. So here's the thing to pay attention to. Be aware where you're getting these apps from and who's making them, and you know, that's kind of scary. It makes you wonder how much data you can safely keep on your mobile device. If with all these apps grabbing data off the phones and then bouncing them over to someone's server. But with this one app that was downloaded 1.1 million times, that tells me that 1.1 million people's private information has been sent to some unknown server in China. We shouldn't make it sit back and think a little bit. Now, a little bit more on the space side. NASA has identified top 10 space junk missions. NASA is saying today that over 19,000 pieces of space junk are known to exist. And they listed the top 10 that were actually junk-producing missions. In other words, these were missions that were went up and came apart mid-flight or however it was, whatever happened. But anyway, the number one basically space junk creator was the intentional collision of the Fengjun 1C satellite that the Chinese crashed earlier this year. And then there was the Cosmo 2251. It was an accidental collision in 2009, which resulted in 1,267 pieces of debris. Now, the Chinese one was 2841, and they go all the way down to even accidents that happened as far back as 1965 with rocket bodies and different types of spacecraft that actually blew up in space, which left all this debris, not to mention, you know, all the big dad satellites and so forth. But scientists are starting to take a much closer look at this because it's getting nasty up there. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to come up with any way to get rid of it all. I don't think so. It's a big challenge. But the orbital debris program said that over 4,700 space missions. Now, that's pretty remarkable if you think about it. Being that there's 19,000 pieces of junk up there and that 4,700 space missions have been launched, I think we're pretty lucky we're only at 19,000 pieces of space junk. And if you look at the numbers here, obviously some of these big numbers were caused by, you know, big events. But it says here that only 10 missions accounted for one-third of all catalog objects currently in Earth orbit, and that six of these 10 debris-producing events occurred within the past 10 years. It says debris from China and the U.S. and former Soviet Union make up the majority of junk floating in space. Well, obviously, that makes sense. But again, they're only tracking objects larger than 10 centimeters. So that's actually pretty big if you think about the size, and you figure only a pea-sized piece of debris is enough to bring down a satellite or punch a hole through the International Space Station. But anyways, at least they're starting to look at this more closely and what they can do to hopefully clean it up and how to get rid of the debris. Hey, the UK government has reviewed the Google Wi-Fi sniffing situation, and they basically have concluded that they didn't sniff anything significant. Now, the actual quote that the ICO made was, "On the basis of the samples we saw, we are satisfied so far that it is unlikely that Google will have captured significant amounts of personal data." They went on to say as well, "There's also no evidence as yet that the data captured by Google has caused or could cause any individual detriment." So good news on that front for Google. One country down, we'll see how many more are willing to give them a pass as the UK government did. Over on, how many of you have Comcast service? How many of you ever paid your bill twice in 1 month, or paid too much and had a zero balance? Yeah, I've done that. I think because we use pay-per-view quite a bit here, I just send in a certain amount every month. And over time, my outstanding balance goes down because I paid a little bit too much. And at some point, I say, oh, I don't need to pay him this month because I've overpaid him. I have a zero balance. Well, apparently, if you don't pay Comcast every month, even though you may not owe them anything, they will send you a statement that's demanding the $0 you owe them, or they're going to threaten to turn off your service. So it sounds like their billing system has a few kinks to work out. And, nice, you know, we're going to shut your service off because you owe us nothing. And I'm just curious, any of you that are Comcast customers, have you ever received one of those notices from them? And that was over on techdirt.com. Okay, remember, we've talked quite a bit already about this school lawsuit and about the school that was spying on kids, the school that took 58,000 images through remote monitoring software that was installed on student-issued laptops. Well, one of the individuals that had 469 images of himself taken has filed a lawsuit against the school. I don't know for what the amount of damages that they're asking, but I'm just surprised there haven't been more. I really don't. But what's scary about this whole thing that happened with this whole, you know, the school taking pictures of kids, or at least the administration, someone in administration doing it, is if a school administrator hadn't revealed the whole system to the first student by showing a photo of him at home, this still would be an ongoing situation where kids were having their pictures taken and students wouldn't know about it. And really, the only reason any of these lawsuits have been filed is because it came out during the investigation of the first incident when this individual said, "You're doing what?" And so anyway, this school's going to end up paying big. It's going to be ugly before it's all over. All right, how many of you saw the Old Spice YouTube pieces? You know, if you had to have been asleep to have missed it. But Old Spice, pretty happy with the numbers. Their sales numbers are up 107%. Now, this was also at the same time that they did these YouTube pieces, is that they also had a coupon program going on. So they say that their body wash rose 107% in the last month, and they're very, very happy with the actual numbers that they've, you know, basically from that campaign. The guy that actually was doing that, I think he's been offered a movie as well. So, you know, he's probably made out as good as Old Spice has in the get credit where credit's due department. All right, this next one is funny. The folks over at Wired, you remember we talked about BP and their continue photoshopping of images to make things look not quite what they should have been. Well, the folks over at Wired had a little bit of a contest. They asked their listeners to basically show them how photoshopping was really supposed to be done. And they come up with some pretty good stuff here. We've got Godzilla. It's basically coming after the helicopter. We got here one with Mr. T, and he's hanging outside the helicopter with a and then we got Tom Selleck in one window. And what else have we got here? We've got an image where they're actually looks like they're on at a McDonald's drive through. And let's see what other stuff they've got for pictures here. And it's just, you know, pretty funny what Wired was able to come up with. You guys know that movie review show where they have, you know, basically a movie being shown, and then it looks like three people are an alien and two individuals are down at the end of the theater watching stuff. Well, they've got one of those pictures as well. So many, the good folks at Wired, a little bit of humor on BP's point, but even though the oil is not flowing, we still have a heck of a mess in the Gulf of Mexico, and it's with a, you know, disaster that's going to affect people for a very, very long time. So our thoughts still go out to the folks down there. And, you know, we've got a lot of listeners that are, you know, that live in that area. I'd love to hear what you guys' thought process has been on the whole oil spill, and you know, is there any, you know, how's it affected you? And do you see any recovery in the economy at all, even though we know that the water's going to be jacked up for a long time? Kind of like to hear from some of the Ohana down in the Gulf Coast region, excuse me. There's another additional set of layoffs that have been issued to space shuttle workers. Another 1,000 workers have been given layoff notices this week. United Space Alliance has issued the 60-day notice of impending layoffs to about 1,400 so far, and this will actually increase as time goes on. Over the past couple of days, the folks up at the International Space Station completed a spacewalk. Two Russian cosmonauts completed a EV outside of the ISS on Tuesday, and they were out for about 6 hours and 45 minutes. They replaced a television, camera, and a couple of other things out there. They did lose some objects, and there was some news about that. But you know, that old camera, and it appears that they jettisoned the old camera into space. So I guess that space junk count continues to continues to climb. I wonder what happens when you're at the International Space Station and you take that piece of space junk and you shove it towards Earth. I wonder if it, how long it takes before that piece will actually re-enter the atmosphere. If you can, if it gives enough shove, does it continue going long enough before it gets caught and drug in? I don't know. I'd love to hear that from, that's like, you know, because you see those guys pitching stuff once in a while. They did that during the, repair on the Hubble, but that was in a really high orbit, and they ditched the solar wing that they couldn't fold back up, or the solar panel they couldn't fold back up. And you just wonder if they pitched it in the right direction, if it deorbits a lot faster than stuff normally does. You would assume it would. It makes sense, at least from my perspective, but you know, who knows. Hey, there's a good article over on examiner.com, and I have to laugh here because those of you that are Apple fanboys, there was a study done, and here are the conclusions of the study. And this was done by a pair of researchers at Texas A&M, and they really dug into, you know, sometimes the folks that are huge fanboys of Apple products have been called cultish to a certain extent, but the folks at Texas A&M went a step further, and they said the religious-like behavior and language surrounding Apple devotion slash fandom is an example of an implicit religion. Professor Heidi Campbell, one of the authors of the study, told FoxNews.com, implicit religion can happen when the use of, say, technology becomes a substitute for belief and behaviors once attached to religion and religious practices. She said that according to the authors, explains why fans still believe when the leader of the church of Apple, Steve Jobs, blames consumers for poor reception of the company's cell phones. Clearly, users are holding their phones incorrectly. In fact, they flock to buy the device despite its serious design flaw. So it's not fanboyism no more. It's not cultish. Those of you, according to Texas A&M, are now part of a new religion. I am sure many of you will take quite a bit of exception to that. And there is some questionable links between religion and Apple, according to the story, and that's all within the actual story itself. But, you know, I don't think that I would ever have considered putting out a research paper where I would actually, you know, look at this as a topic. Wouldn't she have been better spent looking at other types of behavior to, you know, help someone instead of have a flashy article that we're going to talk about on this show? I don't get it. I really don't. But it is kind of funny. It is. All right. At CES 2009, Andy McCaskey and I ran across a robot called an Antibot. Now, those of you that watched the CES coverage in 2009 will remember the Antibot. Annie was completely taken away by it. But Antibots is still in business. We didn't see him at the show in 2010. So we really didn't know where they were at. But the device that we originally saw really kind of looked like what you would see in the Jetsons. It was one of those type of kind of looking robots. But you can see, at least if you're watching on the video, you, and of course you can go to the show link here, over on Engadget, they've got a picture of the new Antibot. And Antibot is now really going to be designed to allow people to have a telepresence in and around remote working sites. Now, if you remember, imagine that you are sitting in your office where you work. And let's say you have a manufacturing facility in China, and there's an Antibot on the floor. You can actually fire the Antibot up and remotely drive the Antibot through the factory, meeting with people and doing teleconference type of conversations where basically you can communicate with people back and forth, spy on employees and so forth. This is what this was designed to do, is basically allow executives and companies to be able to have the ability to remotely monitor stuff at off-duty sites. And it's kind of an interesting thought process on this. You know, I would have thought that this would have been tied into more of a, I guess the model they're going after, but I could have thought of a lot more uses of this thing, especially if it was designed to remotely look at pipelines. You know, there's all kinds of stuff that this could have done, but I guess it has to be fully wired and connected all the time, but very cool stuff. And only $15,000 is the cost of the Antibot robot, and you can have one for yourself. The first 100 people will get in the, what they're calling it, the prestigious 100 club, whatever that is that Antibot is offering up. All right, next article up. You know, we all are listening to a lot more internet radio, streaming video, we're doing all this stuff on the net. And how many of you are actually listening anymore to FM or AM stations? How many of you actually have an old stereo component that its sole job was to do nothing but, tune up an AM or FM station? I know that I've got an old AFM, you know, rack mount tuner that I think I've got it stashed in a storage somewhere. But Grace Digital has come up with a tuner wireless radio and media player. And what it does, it adds radio to existing, those of you that still have existing stereo. So if you're looking to add internet radio to your devices you have for your rack, this is available, $219. But I still don't fully understand why people would really want to do this. But I guess if you're an audio buff and you like things looking nice and neat, this may be an option for you. It can be remotely controlled, and again, it does nothing but tune up to internet radio, primarily Pandora, iHeartRadio, Sirius, Live 365, and so forth. So it is something that if you want to keep your everything looking nice and clean, that definitely is a consideration for you. Hey, over on Gizmodo, there's a, and I didn't even know this is a question going around by Apple users. So this is a good one here. People have been noticing on their phones that every night they call home to mama, and there's amount of a data transfer that takes place, and people are calling them the nighttime downloads. And what they are, they're not really downloads. What they are, and this is what actually surprised me the most, is that the device is actually doing a routine update. And this is according to AT&T, is doing a routine update of your daily data activity on your device to ensure the accuracy of your data billing. Customers are not charged for the data usage, given that no data session is generated. It says that it's not uncommon for devices that are always on, like iPhone, to process data event records for billing purposes after a certain amount of inactivity or after long periods of time. Now I can see what's going to happen now. Hackers are going to go out, and they're going to try to figure out how to get their hands on these data files, and they're going to start messing with those so that the data being sent back to AT&T is altered. Now, with the, I don't know how much good it's going to do you, because they're saying they're just using it to verify data transfer. And it actually shows in an email here the log file that actually is being sent. And that is kind of interesting that that data stuff is being, that those data downloads are happening in the middle of the night and that they were actually doing this. So people are being pretty observant about what their media devices are doing. I wish they'd be as that observant of what their computers are doing as well. All right, YouTube announced today an upload limit to 15 minutes for all users. So this is pretty historic here. And we talked a little bit a couple shows ago about why YouTube was still limiting shows to 10 minutes or, you know, any type of recordings. So they've increased their upload limit to 15 minutes. But what's really weird here is their response to why now. And I still don't fully believe what they're saying here. They say the upload limit for non-partners has been 10 minutes for years. Well, we've spent significant resources on creating and improving our state-of-the-art content ID system and many other powerful tools for copyright owners. Now, all the major U.S. movie studios, music labels, and over 1,000 other global partners use Content ID to manage their content on YouTube. Because of the success of these ongoing technological efforts, we're able to increase the upload limit today. We'll continue our strong commitment to provide advanced technology and tools to protect the rights of small and large copyright owners worldwide. We'll also do everything we can to release incremental improvements like this that can benefit our video creators. Now, why would a Content ID system, which they have in place and have had in place for a while, all of a sudden allow them to go to 10 to 15 minutes? If they already have the digital IDs of content and can do that analysis and find content that's not supposed to be on YouTube, why is this all of a sudden a big deal? I guess they have to have a bigger survey of the data or something. I don't know. But that was the quote unquote, the specific reason for going to 15 minutes. I'm sure that's going to make a lot of people happy. We'll see how it goes. Luckily, I have a director's account and I'm not limited by the 15-minute upload time. All right, over in the New York Times, a good article about technology that is helping adult children monitor aging parents. And my mom kind of calls this the, you know, the sandwich. It's basically a sandwich society where on one end you may have aging parents and on the other you have maybe still children even at home. Depends on the, you know, the age brackets. But for about $8,000 now, you can install a system in a parent's home or any home to monitor basically what's going on inside the house. It gives specific activities, shows when someone gets out of bed, when they go to a different room, checks their blood pressure, their weight. There's a whole bunch of stuff that this system can monitor, and including when the actual individual leaves the home. So what I find interesting about this whole situation here is as we know that we have baby boomers, which I am at the very tail end. I think I'm at the last year that they actually consider someone to be a baby boomer. We've got all the baby boomers that are going to be aging rapidly now over the next 25, 30 years. And what we have, in effect, is now the ability for stuff to be put in these aging parents' homes to give the sense of mind that, okay, the parent's okay, and at the same time still not have to bring in as much expensive in-home care that is needed oftentimes for someone that may, you know, if you have the ability to monitor that they're all right, you wouldn't need to have that care brought in. The example they had was of a 70-year-old widow that lived alone, and even though they don't say anything about this individual having any Alzheimer's or anything like that going on, it does make you wonder what the limitations of monitoring is going to be. I'm sure that, you know, at some point, all of us are going to need some sort of care one way or the other, whether it be through a parent, nursing home. But it is interesting that this system, which is $8,000, is able to track the individual and report that back to a son or a daughter. The service costs about $75 a month to run. And again, about $8,000 to install. I don't know. What do you guys think about this? As we all get older, do you want your kids monitoring you to make sure that checking what time you get out of bed and go to the bathroom, or how many times you go at night, or your blood pressure? I don't know. It's interesting. But if it allows people to live by themselves longer, and you know, we all want our independence, right? All right, Internet Explorer 9 is to arrive in September. So it looks like we're going to get that sometime again in sometime in the month of September. So we'll see what happens there with that release. How many of you have picked up one of these magic trackpads by Mac? This is an article over on ArsTechnica.com. A lot of sites are reviewing this today. You know, to be honest with you, being a PC user all these years, that it drives me crazy. Absolutely drives me crazy to use the Mac touchpad. on the actual, I guess they call it the magic pad or whatever it is, drives me insane. And I guess think of what it all it has to do with is, you know, what did you cut your teeth on? I'm sure there's many of you out there that are driven insane by having to use a mouse. I'm a big trackball fanatic. You know, I've got trackballs, you know, a couple of them on my desk. You know, I like trackballs, and I don't like the magic trackpad. I don't care for it, or the Mac pad. Please, someone tell me, some Mac, hardcore Mac user that listens to this show, you know, what's so special about this magic trackpad that they're selling now, this extra one? You know, what makes it so cool? I really want to hear from you. And, you know, call in the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 or send me an audio comment to geeknews@gmail.com. Really like to hear from you why you like it so much. And what am I missing here that I'm not aware of? Moving on. Have you seen Mozilla's Tab Candy? Oh boy, this is really, really cool. Now, in the soon-to-be-released Firefox version 4, they are coming out and actually been working. Mozilla's been working with a designer named Aza Raskin, who has come up with what they're calling the Tab Candy project. And essentially what it does is, you guys know now on Safari, when you open Safari, excuse me, not when you open the Chrome up, Chrome can give you, you know, some folders to click on. But Tab Candy takes it to a whole new level. You're able to categorize and have multiple, it looks like mini browser windows within the browser. And basically you can very quickly say, oh, I need to go over there. Boom, you click on it and it launches the web page. So instead of pulling your favorites down or typing in the address, it gives you a quick visualization of being able to go from, you know, basically from your browser straight to the browser menu in this Tab Candy, to a website that you want to go to. And I haven't had a chance to play with this yet. I'm going to download it, but everyone is raving about this and how cool it is to use. And they've got another option too. It's called a Tab Tree. I think I kind of like that a little bit better than the Tab Candy itself. But if you want to download version 4, the beta version 4, you can do that and get your hands on this to give it a test drive. Apple's looking into slow iOS 4 performance on iPhone 3G. So apparently they've received so many complaints about performance that they're actually starting to dig into this. We'll keep you advised on what's reported there. Hey, over at the Black Hat Conference, two guys hacked some ATMs, and they were able to get money out of the ATMs. One of it through an IP attack. They were able to basically get into the machine remotely and had it start ejecting $100 bills. The other machine, which blows me, check this out. You know, you go into a 7-Eleven or someplace where they have an ATM machine there. Wouldn't you think that the key to use to open up that ATM machine would be unique for every ATM? Wouldn't that just make sense? You're having, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in the ATM, and wouldn't you think when you bought that from a manufacturer that it would have its own unique key? Well, there's a line of ATMs called Tranex that, from Triton, a box from Triton that, all the keys are the same, and you can buy one online for about $10. And you go to the back of your 7-Eleven, you can open this thing up. You can snap in a USB stick, loads malware in the machine, and next thing you know, it's you are committing a felony and getting money out of the ATM machine. You know, you absolutely know that people are going to be going out and ripping off ATM machines and going to jail. Now, both Triton and Tranex were at Black Hat. They made comments afterwards about their machines being secure, and they're giving instructions to their owners on what to do to, you know, make sure they're locked down. And they're offering different types of key solutions for the devices. But I don't know what they had these things hooked to, but obviously, when an ATM starts spitting out money that you're not supposed to have, that would be a concern. Another thing they did is they were able to read data off of credit cards being stuck into the machine with the malware hack, and actually read the data and probably be able to recreate a magnetic strip from that, which is makes you go, hmm. And that probably scares me more than anything else. Hey, the folks at Amazon have rolled out a smaller, lighter, Wi-Fi-only Kindle for $139. And, of course, we know that the Kindle has been much higher priced at $189, but now this new one's available for $139. Doesn't say what size it is, at least in the article I have linked up here. But definitely some competition here in the ebook space. I don't think it's, you know, people that buy iPads are definitely going out to buy them for a specific reason. But it is nice to see that the Kindle is at $139 now for the smaller one. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when Senator Al Franken was elected to Congress, you really didn't know what he was going to how he was going to interact. He didn't know if, and I didn't, be honest with you, during the election, I didn't necessarily take him so serious just because, you know, he's a comedian. And, but he's ditched the jokes, and he made some interesting remarks at an event. And I want to play these remarks for you. We've got some time here, and let me go ahead and paste this in. And I want to hear, I'm just going to just play a few seconds of a speech that he made a couple of days ago. So it was at Netroots, and this was actually done on the 24th of July. Let me play this for you so you guys can hear this.
It used to be that really only the government could threaten your First Amendment rights. Now corporations with government permission pose the greatest threat to your First Amendment rights. And tonight I want to tell you that I believe that net neutrality is the First Amendment issue of our time.
Okay, now that's an interesting thing. He feels that net neutrality is our First Amendment issue of our time. And he says that you had to worry about government before, and now it's the corporate entities that are largely in control of the internet are the ones that we need to worry about. Frankly, I wish more senators would speak like he has spoken. It makes you, it, he won a few points on me for tonight for me for actually saying that. Now, we'll have to look at his voting record, but he's been keeping Comcast feet to the fire pretty hardcore here over the merger with NBC. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. But I think too many senators are in bag with corporations, both on the right and the left, to even, you know, fairly implement something net neutrality-wise that is going to probably satisfy most of us that are geeks. Hey, we talked a little bit on the last show about the ability now to jailbreak a device in order to get software that you have legally purchased onto the device when it's not available via basically the standard Apple Store or on the Android and so forth. But what we're finding and what is a potential to happen here is that Apple or another entity could appeal the rules that the Copyright Office has put forth. So we'll see what happens with this, but EFF is basically saying the most likely form of appeal would be for Apple to file a lawsuit in federal court claiming the rulemaking violated provisions of the Administrative Procedure Act. And what this is the APA governs rulemaking actions across federal bureaucracy. And they would basically say that the Copyright Office was not within their right to make this ruling. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. But as it is stands right now, the exemption is in place, even though it does have some limitations. Those of you that are T-Mobile customers, you have ranked T-Mobile tops over AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint in customer care ranking. I don't think that comes as a surprise to me because we've got a couple T-Mobile phones here in the house, and I'll be honest, never had an issue. I never complain about T-Mobile as compared to how I complain about AT&T. Three reasons why personal cloud services need to be home servers. How many of you have a home server at home? How many have a Windows Media home server or something of that branding or something similar, a network attached storage device? I think this is true in all cases that many of us do not want to have all our computers on 24/7. Storage capacity at this point is, you know, really not an issue. But more importantly, people want to access network shared content and have access to it quick instead of having to go out on the cloud to get it. And I know that we use, we've got our network attached storage device, or actually a Windows Home server set up to very quickly allow us to access music, allow movies, whatever I've got on there, stuff that my kids have recorded, and basically from our Windows Media Center connected TV. So how many of you have a home server at home, or how many of you are using the cloud to get access to the content that you have created? Love to hear your feedback on that. Hey, Macworld has an article on five great apps for iPhone and photographers. I have this link up in the show notes for you. A good article over on the New York Times on the new Dragon Naturally Speaking version 11 that is now coming out on the street. It's going to be available. Nuance is saying a 15% increase in word recognition reliability. I would just like to be able to have the doggone thing running remotely and be able to do a dictation, or not a dictation, a transcript of this show. But I've never really had great success in doing that with the device. Just never fully has functioned completely right. Hey, Toyota is recalling 480,000 vehicles for steering flaws. Wow. Another 480,000 Avalon and Land Cruiser sports utility vehicles must be fixed. So that's not good. So if you've got a Land Cruiser or an Avalon sedan, be prepared for a recall. Here's an interesting one that's being reported by the Register. We talk about how everyone's using their mobile phones so much and using so much data. It's being reported that the average monthly data dining for Verizon smartphones is 421 megabits, yet the iPhone, the average data dining for the iPhone is 338. So those of you that are up on Verizon, you're using more bandwidth than what the Apple iPhone is. So that's kind of a curious move there that that information's come out. So if Verizon is already supporting, you know, people using more bandwidth than they do on Apple's network, the transition to Verizon potentially could be a good one. All right, I'm going to leave you guys with this before we get into the emails. 100 million Facebook users learn true meaning of going public. There was a BitTorrent file made available on the internet that contained over 100 million people's profiles, birth dates, other personal information that was able to be gained publicly off the Facebook website. It culled all that information and put it into a database. So that should make you feel good if you haven't locked down your Facebook privacy settings, that all this data is sitting out there for someone to cull and use against you. Shouldn't come as a surprise, really, based upon everything else that is happening these days. All right, let's go ahead and get into the voicemail. We got one here from Trucker Tom. And then we'll get into the email comments. So here comes the, we turn the volume up on this. Here comes the comment from Trucker Tom. Of course, you can leave a comment by dialing 619-342-7365.
Hey, Todd, Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. A couple of three shows ago, you were reading this article and talking about the distances, the vast distances between the Earth and the Sun. You know, right. The thing is, if you think about the universe, you know, on the scale it is, and we can't even wrap our brains around it.
True.
if you think of it, the Earth is like less than a grain of sand.
Yep.
And in fact, our entire solar system is sort of like less than a grain of sand on a cosmic scale. So on a cosmic scale, our Earth is like right on top of the sun. It really is. If you back away from it enough, it's like we're right on top of it. And in a very real sense, that sun is our life. I don't know how many people realize that, but it really is. Anyhow, keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, thanks for that. And if the sun goes out, we go out pretty quickly. But in the scheme of things, yeah, you know, we're not even a grain of sand. I think we're like more like a molecule out here. Or let's even get farther down in the food chain. How about maybe a single atom? I don't know. We're not much of a speck, that's for sure, on the galactic scale. All right, got an email here from Denise, and she says, "Hey Todd, I want to pass this link to a story about popularity of e-textbooks in tech schools." And she gives me a link up here to talking about this, basically to an e-textbook article. And she says, also, I have a question about the newsletter. It seems there is no direct link to Geek News Central website from the newsletter. There's a link to the promo code, to the XML feeds, podcast file. There's a link to your Twitter and Facebook page, the YouTube channel, and the Ohana Star. But there seems to be no link to the actual GNC website. Should there be? Am I saying this right? You know, Denise, you've hit the nail on the head, and this has been brought to my attention 4 or 5 times. And you know what happens is I cut and paste the data right out of the blog post, and I drop that into an email. If I link to my own website within the actual blog post every time, it would probably hurt me on Google. So that's probably the reason why I didn't, maybe pure laziness on my part. But I'll see if I can start adding that in there as a footnote or something. But, you know, all you got to do is Google Geek News. If you don't want to type the whole thing out, you'll find me. But thanks, Denise, for the reminder there. Frank also sent me an email on the second lawsuit that was filed in the webcams snooping case. Thanks for that, Frank. I definitely appreciate it. Trucker Tom sent another email in about internet security. And basically, I don't know if this is Bath, Maine, but it says a Bath entrepreneur has been selected to safeguard the future of the internet security across the world. And this is an individual who has come up with the security system. I'll have a link up to it in the show notes. Pretty interesting article. Good catch on that one, Tom. I definitely appreciate it. Another article Tom sent is about talking about 7 people who have been entrusted with keys to the internet. This is a Gizmodo article. And they are actual smart cards that are keys to the internet. And there are 7 of them, and they hold the power to restarting the World Wide Web in the event of a catastrophic event. So what they are is they contain a lot of the data that would be used to re-jumpstart DNS and some other stuff. So kind of interesting write-up here. It makes you think, okay, who are those 7 key holders? Got an email from Katie. She said, "Hey, Todd, we received the computer yesterday. My husband loves the computer. He was a kid. He was like a kid at Christmas yesterday. When we took the computer out of the box, he had a look inside to check out all the hardware it included. Then once he set it up, he kept telling me and showing me all the specs. He loves it. Thank you again." Again, Katie out of Texas, her and her husband was the winner of the Lenovo A63 desktop computer with two monitors. So again, congratulations to that, Katie. Got another e-link here about how there's a new gel out that could help decayed teeth grow back. So that's kind of a curious one. I got an email from Jason. He says, "Hey, Todd, you wanted to know how much bandwidth I use up here in Canada with Rogers." Did I actually already go over this? No, I didn't. "Hi, Todd, you wanted to know how much bandwidth I use up here in Canada with Rogers? I'm currently stuck with Rogers and have no choice to move at the moment. To make a long story short, when my house was built, a small telephone company made a deal with our builder to not allow Bell Canada onto the site to lay their own lines. So they've never been an option or any of their resellers. The company had no caps. That company has no caps, and I average 100 to 200 gigs per month. So I was happy. Then a few years ago, we moved in Rogers. Oh, Then a few years ago, after we moved in, Rogers bought this company and discontinued my DSL and POTS phone service and forced me into their cable services. I always stay below the 95 gigabytes, but usually above 90, since I don't want to pay the crazy $2 per gig overcharges. What I've been forced to do is set up a Linux box at my parents' where I SSH into to do downloads and then bring it home using a USB stick. Just to show you how crazy things are up here for internet, if you're low income and want to save money, Rogers' cheapest plan is 2 gigs per month of bandwidth with $5 per gig overages, and it costs $28, and that's for 500 kilobits per second of service. So, boy, we've got it good, folks. Think about having to maintain and not go over a bandwidth cap. It's pretty scary stuff. I think that's it on emails today. And, yeah, that's it. So, folks, thanks for hanging out with me. It's been my fun, kind of a rough start to the show today. Can't seem to get my facts straight, but, yeah, that's the way it goes. You know, 597 shows. I'm allowed to have a few blonde moments, I guess, for a better word. But everyone take care, and we'll be back with you on our normal recording time. Next week, I'll be back to doing evening shows. So we'll be getting started actually doing a live recording probably around 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is 11 p.m. Eastern or 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. So if you want to join me, you can. We always put the show up on replay for about 24 hours as well if you want to catch the live show on replay. Of course, you subscribe to the podcast. You just get it downloaded automatically into your mobile device. That way you'll never miss the show, no matter what. Again, you can find information to subscribe to the show on the website at geeknewscentral.com. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show today. Everyone take care. And until next time, aloha.